The best coaches in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is got. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the DFS Army Bowl Call Fantasy Football Podcast. We talk fantasy football all year round. And as promised, we got a good one for you today. And before I introduce Nelson, I just want to let everybody know that if you've seen Nelson's podcast on Dynasty Depot, he has a signature bit where he'll introduce his guests with almost a WWE-style windup. So I'm going to return the favor for you today, Nelson. I'm going to introduce you, okay? All right, so the one that I put together for you is the freshly vaccinated, the man who I would want to plan my own bachelor party should I get married ever again. I'm only teasing. My wife is looking at me right now. Here he is. It's Dynasty Depot's own Nelson Verbit. Did I say that right?
Man, whatever you say, I work with, brother.
Man, this is fun to have you on. And again, if you're not familiar with Nelson, he is the founder of DynastyDepot.com. We're going to talk a lot about that. And I already see people piling into the chat because they love fantasy football just as much as you and I do. Nelson, what's up, man?
Brother, how are you, man? It is a pleasure to be hanging out with you 101, mano a mano, not on the phone, not working, just talking football. And I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, so what Nelson is here to talk about today, he's not here for his health. In addition to loving talking to me, he is out there. He has come up with an innovative idea in Dynasty Fantasy Football. And he is, like I said, it's called DynastyDepot.com. And Nelson, before we get into some specifics of Dynasty, give everyone, the listeners, the DFS Army has been asking me all week, what's the elevator pitch, the 30-second, the one-minute pitch to what the hell is Dynasty Depot?
Dynasty Depot is the first auction site for FFPC Dynasty teams. You can buy teams, you can sell teams. There's over 200 teams on the site currently that are up for auction. So if you're a big banger and you want to buy a $500 team and it's bid up to $5,000, you go ahead. If you want to buy a $500 team and you want to get your feet wet, you could probably find one for $50. So Dynasty Depot is a marketplace for FFPC Dynasty teams.
So, and for those of you who haven't checked out FFPC, that's the Fantasy Football Players Championship. They are the high stakes fantasy football, I'd say, mecca. I mean, that's where people go to play with the Correct. Real big fishes. And if you want to go in there and find a team that has, say, a bunch of draft picks and all young players, you could do that. If you want to go in there and find a team that has grizzly veterans and is win now mode, you can do that. So there's people that abandon these teams, these orphan teams, and what Nelson's service does, DynastyDepot.com, is they allow you to go in there and make a bid and try to buy one of these teams. All right, Nelson, we'll come back to that, but yep. Let's talk a little. Go ahead. You were going to ask me something?
Well, yeah. Well, it was. It is. There are bargain basement teams, and there are people that simply draft teams and try to flip them for profits. So teams go for above market value. It's not just the orphan teams. People with established teams go ahead and list their teams for sale, just like you would on eBay. And it's a marketplace for those teams.
Yeah. And there's multiple different type of formats there on Dynasty Depot. Right. Hey, Nelson, what's your favorite format to play in fantasy football?
See, I'm kind of still old school standard. I mean, I get into Superflex best ball. I like best ball because I own 80 some Dynasty teams. So I got to have some best ball. It's a little less management for me in those situations, but I'm still a standard guy at heart.
So when you say standard, do you mean non-PPR or do you mean just traditional one quarterback?
Traditional one quarterback. FFPC is a 1 point PPR with the 1.5 tight end premium twist in it.
Yep. So for those of you, again, who follow the DFS Army Bulk Hole podcast, we're always talking about tight end premium. And what that does is it gives an extra little boost of value to the tight ends because, as many of you know, when you play in your fantasy football leagues, tight end is kind of like if you're not getting one of the elite guys, you're just waiting because tight end 5 through 25 is, you know, more or less the sameness.
Same thing.
So I got a question for you. What is the marketplace right now at Dynasty Depot with all of the murkiness around Deshaun Watson? Where do you stand? What do you think is going to happen with Deshaun Watson as he is demanding a trade from the Texans, but still under contract?
Well, it's a strange situation because, quote unquote, I read, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes ago, they're still not entertaining offers, but he's not going to play there. So something's going to give sooner or later, right? There's too many quarterback needy teams, too many teams with cap room. There's a lot of pieces to fall still. He's going to be moved because he does not want to play there.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see the player empowerment era hit the NFL, and there's only a handful of guys that could really control their own destiny. Deshaun Watson definitely feels like one of them. So my question to you is, the market is down on Deshaun Watson. I've noticed that. I've seen his ADP drop in these best ball. I've seen I'm doing a dynasty startup mock draft with the guys from Roster Watch and Roto Underworld right now, and Deshaun Watson is dropping like a stone. Is there a buying opportunity on some of these orphan teams with Deshaun Watson on Dynasty Depot?
Listen, the problem is, the answer is yes. Okay. It is a definite buying opportunity. But when you get to Dynasty Depot, the quarterback, even Mahomes, it's not a factor. On Dynasty Depot, people are looking, what's coming up? The NFL draft's coming up. If you don't have draft picks, you better sell a couple of your players for draft picks if you want to move it on Dynasty Depot, because nobody wants to go into the draft and not have fun and not have picks, right? So, you know, Watson is definitely a buy low right now. I mean, he's going to end up somewhere, and you have to believe in the player. So it really doesn't matter. He hasn't been playing with a great team in Houston there for years anyway, okay? You know, when Hopkins was there, it was better. You know, Cooks, it was okay. Fuller is okay. But wherever he goes, he's just good at football, man. So his value stands for me.
Yeah, I'm here. If you're just tuning in now to the podcast, to the live stream, I'm here with Uncle Nelson, who is everyone in Dynasty Fantasy Football's favorite Dynasty uncle. One of the good guys in the fantasy industry. Thanks, so I a couple of the, you just hit on something, is that people are looking to have picks and have fun in Dynasty. When Jordan McNamara of the Football Guys was on your live stream, your podcast, yep, Dynasty Depot Live-ish, he talked about an interesting survey where they asked people, what is your favorite part about Dynasty Fantasy Football?
Amazing.
And only 30% of the people said winning. 30% of the people said
amazing
trading. So
amazing.
You have hit on a third of the market almost likes playing more than they like winning.
It's insane. So I'll give you an example here. I drafted a team last year, a maiden team last year that I absolutely butchered, right? So I sold the whole team off. When I tell you I had no running backs, I had Benny Snell and McFarlane left. I sold every player except DK Metcalf for draft pick. I had 9 first round draft picks. That team sold for 5x, $1,200, a $250 team, because they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 4, and 5. The draft picks sell, man, at this time of the year. Before they're converted into players, people want to make those picks.
Yeah, the chat room's lighting up right now, Nelson. They're here to see you. Already we have one of our guys, Velvet, out there. What's up, Velvet? I know you love the Dynasty. I mean, listen, yeah, we always say that we don't care about going wide this time of year. We want to go deep. And, you know, we always like having, you know, our deep listeners tune in for this.
Love it.
All right, so that brings me to some other quarterback discussion. I know you said quarterback doesn't move the needle. Right. See, this is where I have a disagreement with the market. So what we saw last year in just that single season in 2020 was that people, you know, stayed with that philosophy of late round quarterback, except there was 5 or 6 quarterbacks you did need to win. I mean, when you talked about, you know, Kyler Murray for most of the season, Josh Allen, obviously, yeah. Lamar Jackson, yeah. if you stuck with him, came yeah. through with you in the end. So doesn't that really make the case if there's only five or six guys that you really do need to prioritize quarterback? Talk about that. It does.
And we've done some analysis on this, and I've talked to Jordan McNamara about this, who I feel is the best in the business. His analytics of Dynasty, I'd give him a follow. It's amazing. It does, and you needed those quarterbacks, but yet you're now, that season's over. People are forgetting that. Couple of teams, I had to make moves late in the year that was, you know, good chance to win, and I had to give up a lot to go get that quarterback to get me over the top. I think you need it, but it's not valued, and I don't think it will be this year either, but you are correct in assuming that.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're not prioritizing quarterback in a one quarterback league, say you were doing one of these startup drafts, okay? I know that you focus on orphan teams over at Dynasty Depot, but who are some of the quarterbacks? So I guess this can apply to orphan teams too, that if people are valuing more of the draft picks and the young players, who are some of the quarterbacks going after the 10th round that you would be comfortable having on your Dynasty team just in this 1 year or 2 year window?
A guy that really intrigues me this year, and he's probably a 12th round kind of guy. I'm wondering if Matthew Stafford is going to be a major factor out there in LA. I'm very curious to see, you know, what happens with him. He's a guy you're going to be getting so late out there. I think he's a good quarterback. I thought he was good, you know, with Detroit for years. He's always been, you know, a top 10 fantasy kind of guy, and I got a funny feeling deep inside that guy's gonna do some lighting up with some people.
I think there's momentum that supports what you are saying. I mean, Matthew Stafford was going before the trade around QB 15. He's actually up to about QB 9 right now, according to some of the latest FFPC data I looked at. So, you know, if you're drafting in February, sure, great strategy. I think that the market will catch up to that right after the NFL draft. So, yeah, I like that one too. Now, the other players that I was looking at FFPC, the most traded, most transacted players. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts, after the Carson Wentz trade, is the most transacted player in fantasy football. Talk to me about the teams that you've seen bought, sold on Dynasty Depot that have Jalen Hurts on there. How is the market valuing him right now as a Dynasty quarterback?
See, it's a tough question, me being from Philly and all the Philly shit you see behind me here. So, you know, it's a million-dollar question because he's probably, you know, a top 10 quarterback because of his legs. They're saying the improvement he has. I mean, it's hard to judge a guy on four games, right? But you saw some things there. But the problem with Jalen Hurts is that the Eagles are sitting at six. And it's hard to get at six. And there's quarterbacks. And there's the Bengals drafting in front of you that aren't taking a quarterback. So if a quarterback falls that they like, it could be a problem for Hurts. You don't get to draft a franchise quarterback if they think one's sitting in front of him. So for me, his value is murky. Okay, I think it would be a short leash anyway for him. So I just don't have that answer. I don't think anybody knows that answer. You'll know what they think about Jalen Hurts after the draft.
See, I think that when there is a murky situation, when there's FUD, when there's fear, uncertainty, and doubt, there's a buying opportunity. It doesn't cost you much. I mean, I've seen Jalen Hurts in these super flex startups go in the fourth and fifth round. I mean, if they came out and said that he was the absolute starter, he would be a late first round pick. There's no doubt about it if the team committed to him. So those are the type of guys I like to buy. Who of the 2020 rookies, last year's amazing wide receiver rookie class, do you think is still underrated?
I think my guy that I've been buying is, and he's not underrated, but because Jefferson was so awesome last year, I think T. Higgins is going to have one hell of a career in Cincinnati, man. I like everything he does. Even when Green came back and Boyd's going to get his, Higgins is the guy. I think that's the guy you want to buy. You're not going to overpay like you're going to have to overpay for Jefferson. I like him. I also, being, again, from Philly, I think Rieger's a good buy. I think he's got a lot of talent. The offense was so dysfunctional last year with Wentz and Peterson knocking heads 24-7. Nothing was right. I don't think we've seen anything from Rieger. And if you can go get him for, you know, a late second, something like that, in a startup draft, or pick him up in the eighth round, something like that, you could be sitting on something there.
Yeah, the problem is that those who drafted Jalen Rieger, they love him. And I think that you can get him for if you give the owner his money back. Like, if you give them your 1.10, they'll do it. But I don't know if they're going to sell. I mean, you know.
I can get him a little later, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. If they're out on him, I totally understand that. Some of the other – the ones I think are under the radar, I mean, I think that Henry Ruggs is underrated after being the first of all. People hate him. The marketplace is already done with him. He was the first wide receiver off the board in last year's class. And I think that that's the one that you can get for the late second. The other one who I think is a little bit sneaky from that last year's class that I'm looking to acquire, and is Gabriel Davis on the Buffalo Bills. It just looks like when him and Josh Allen are together that they are connected at the hip, connected at the brain. And I think if you approach somebody and you try to just get Gabriel Davis, they're going to be on to you. But he's one of those players that you want to try to pad a bigger deal with, in my judgment.
I do. I like him. What worries me about Buffalo is they are in all-in mode right now. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them bring another stud in, because they're all in, which would push Davis back. But he was a nice player, nice surprise last year.
Some of my favorite strategies, Nelson, in dynasty trading and dynasty startups and in auction buying, similar to what your site does, is I try to find, again, the fear, uncertainty, doubt players. So there's two players that come to mind that I think that their ADP is reflects the risk. And that's James Robinson on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who obviously did everything. He was a top five back last year. And it's Miles Gaskin, who's going four or five rounds later. Talk about both of those running backs, what you think is going to happen, are they going to get a running back mate next year, or if they are going to still maintain their lead role.
I think Robinson has earned the right to continue on with the lead role. Durability is a factor, okay? He was strong, didn't wear down too bad. There was a little stretch toward the end, but he pretty much carried for the rest of the year. And I think a guy like that, who's playing for nothing, sees a payday in front of him. I expect him to be better this year, be quite honest with you. With a threat at quarterback, okay, and probably my number one sneaky underrated guy that I'm drafting is DJ Chark everywhere. I'm all over him this year. I think he's a tremendous wide receiver one talent that people aren't looking at because he's in Jacksonville. And I think if you open that offense up with that quarterback coming in there, Robinson could be even better next year. I don't see them really bringing in somebody that's going to challenge him. There is going to be another back in there this year.
Well, see, you hit on two things that I think this is an argument I have with our friend in common, Byron Lambert, over at Roster Watch, is that he thinks we have DJ Chark appropriately priced on on the Dynasty Depot rankings. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's undervalued, that he has top five overall wide receiver upside with Trevor Lawrence. So you and I are sharing a brain on that. Now, how about Miles Gaskin? I mean, everybody is assuming that Gaskin, great, you got me through 1 year as my RB2, but Miami's definitely bringing in either a free agent or they're drafting someone. I don't believe that. I want to hear your thought process on Gaskin. He's one of the most interesting players this year for me.
He is, and he can be had off any roster. So my thoughts on him is, I think he's just a guy. I think he might be on the upper end of just a guy. I think with his frame and his durability issues are always going to be there, and they did creep up last year, but you know, what they're trying to do in Miami, and they're also, you know, heading everywhere in the right direction. I don't think he's the guy. I think if you look at what happened in Buffalo this year with two guys that were just guys in Singletary and Moss, I think that's what you have in Miami. And he's just a guy to me. I mean, I would love to have him. And if he's there, he's going to produce. But he's a guy.
Yeah, I think that the risk, though, I think what the marketplace is mostly missing is that the risk is priced in. If he was named the unquestioned starter, then he would be a third or a fourth round player. The fact that he's going in the seventh and eighth round of these one QB leagues, there's no risk. I mean, even if he's a backfield right. mate. And so every year, staying on the running backs, Nelson, you know, I borrowed this term from Kevin O'Brien at the Fantasy Football Engineering Podcast, who is one of my favorite. He talks about the stinky cheese running backs. Every year there's the stinky cheese. Last year it was Todd Gurley and David Johnson. You kind of took them in the third, fourth round of these one QB leagues, but you didn't want them. This year, all the stinky cheese running backs are in the form of free agents. There's James Conner, there's Drake, and there's Mark Ingram. There's even James White. Nobody wants to draft these players. And ultimately, they're going to land on teams. They seem more like players that could torpedo other people's fantasy value. Are you have any interest in them? I know they're not sexy names, but talk about your outlook on any of those stinky cheese type of running backs.
I don't want any part of them, especially James Conner. I'm sure everybody has a guy that is on your DND, do not draft list. He's that guy for me. Every time I've had him, he's burnt me. He doesn't play a full season, and he doesn't stay healthy. I don't think he has the burst. I think he was playing with a good team. It wouldn't surprise me if he's just a backup somewhere. He brings nothing to the table for me at all.
So say you're the James Robinson team that has James Robinson on them, and they sign James Conner. That wouldn't concern you a drop at all? You would just be like, hey, it's just another player in the running back room?
It would concern me in that type of situation. That would be a problem. But overall, he's okay.
Well, that's my point, is that he's going to wreck or lower the ceiling of someone like a James Robinson
He is going to, and somebody's going to pick him up, and he'll probably be one of the better teams. It's probably where I'm thinking, you know, you'll have James Conner, but I don't, you know, you can't do much about that, right? He's going to be in the league next year. He's okay. He's not a star. You know, he was a star in the right offense for 1 year is what he was.
Yeah, and daddy was. So there's a few players that are out there in free agency. And, oh, by the way, if you're in the chat right now, let us know who your stinky cheese running backs are. Comment in the chat. We love interacting with the chat while we're on air. I'm here with Nelson of Dynasty Depot, who is the founder of DynastyDepot.com. Go over there. Check out all the FFPC orphan teams that you can bid on. And there are some great values. You can buy a team in the offseason over there, and then you could sell it at a higher price. There's people day trading these teams. It's have a life of its own, Nelson. And I'm interested to watch how it grows.
It has. What you said really is true. The site has almost become a stock market for fantasy football teams and day trading. You might see the same team up there four different times with one different move. People seem to be buying teams, making a move, reposting it, grabbing a profit. That's what's going on, man. It was created for something to do in the offseason, and we've given them something to do.
Yeah, Bitcoin, baseball cards, and Dynasty Depot football teams. It's all that's what's hot right now. All right, free agency is upon us. This is exactly why I wanted to have you on the DFS Army Bowl Call podcast this week, because free agency is a few weeks away. Now, there's a couple free agents that are – their value is going to basically change. And I always think that that's, again, an opportunity to buy on Dynasty Depot, find these players. So I'm going to name players. I want you to tell me if they are future Dynasty gold value or a landmine. So basically, oh my God, I can't wait to, no matter where they go or landing spot dependent, if they're going to be a disaster or if they're, you know, if somewhere in between.
Right.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Somewhere in between. Okay, we're going to put him in the tweener. I'm not saying, oh my God, or he's going to be a disaster. He needs to be in the right system. His value, I don't think, is going to change a ton.
Okay. Where do you think is an optimal landing spot for someone like Juju?
Man, I mean, the place that pops into my mind, like the same place Allen Robinson pops in my mind, somebody's going to land their ass in Green Bay. Is what one of these guys is going to land in Green Bay.
Yeah. The player that I think will land in Green Bay is the next one I was going to ask you about. And that's Will Fuller. Landmine or dynasty gold in his future.
because of his inconsistency health-wise, he's a landmine for me. I don't mess with Will Fuller. He cannot be counted on to go a full season.
What if he ends up in Green Bay? Any interest there?
Sure, there'd be interest there, but he still can't go a full season. It doesn't matter what city he's in. Okay,
I mean,
the hamstring issues go way back to high school with him. Okay, went through Notre Dame. Too many injuries for me. That's not a guy that I try to roster.
Yeah, last year, DFS Army was very bullish on Will Fuller, and you know, sure, we were right until we were wrong, right? How about Cam Newton? I know the market hates him. Where are you on Cam Newton if he, say, for example, lands in a starting job in Chicago?
I would put him off my list. I don't think he has any value talent anymore, and his head's been smashed around too many times for me. I have no interest in him at all. Zero. All
right. How about the two prospective running backs in New Orleans, the quarterbacks in New Orleans? You have Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. It's what's interesting is that one of them is going to have more value than both of them do right now together.
I like both of them wherever they go, and whoever stays there, you're going to like, and whoever leaves and gets a job somewhere, you're going to like. The one problem with that whole thing is the Kamara owners. We saw Hill and Kamara, that did not lead to a lot of success, those two together. So I think for Kamara, you hope it's Winston.
Okay. Sure. So just sliding away from player talk for a moment, you know, I'm always curious when I talk to someone who loves fantasy football as much as you do and as much as we all do. And anyone watching this podcast or watching the video in February, let's face it, they eat, live, and breathe this stuff. So what is the nostalgic memory? What is the thing that hooked you into sports, whether it was video game, whatever, it was a big game that you saw as a kid? What was the thing where you just knew you connected with sports and it set the tone for the rest of your life with sports in general?
Well, coming from a family of athletes myself.
Right. You played college sport and you were drafted.
I was a drafted baseball player. I was a drafted baseball player. Played D1 baseball. My kids are all monster athletes. But really what got into it was my father. And what he used to do is we had season tickets to the Eagles, Sixers, and Phillies. So I was at Veterans Stadium or the Spectrum, you know, more times than not at night and every weekend. And I think that sports really, you know, it's handed down. If you're an interested father and your father takes you to games and stuff like that, you got a good shot, you know, being locked into this stuff, and you see it the other way also. There's nothing wrong with the dad that's going to sit down and read you a book. My dad never read me a book. He took me to games.
Yeah, my dad was more of the Cliff Notes type of guy too himself. So interesting. So did you play sports video games, or were you just only you played in actual sports?
No, I was an athlete from day one. I was talented, thank God, and even as a child. And no, I was never a video game guy. Still never. Don't get it. Don't understand it. You know, my kid wants to go on Xbox. I tell him to get his ass in the driveway and shoot 100 free throws.
Yep. Yeah. I in addition to playing sports, obviously not on the same level that you're talking about, but I always was connected to sports through first Atari and then the giant leap to Nintendo with the games like Double Dribble. So that's why I asked about it, because that's
never,
always something.
Never got there, man.
Yeah,
never,
no, totally. Never got there.
We take a broomstick and a half ball and go play some ball out front.
Yeah, stickball. That was one of my favorites. Stickball, kickball. All right. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, I have a million questions for you. Again, I'm here with Nelson.
Oh, man, I'm here, brother.
I'm here with Nelson from Dynasty Depot, the founder of what I think is everyone's always asking, what's the next thing in fantasy football? And I think, Nelson, you hit on something here. It's Dynasty Depot is a marketplace to trade and buy and sell and Dynasty fantasy football teams. So technology is really what has allowed businesses like yourself to produce this amazing thing. So let's go back. What do you think is the biggest leap in technology going back from the days of the USA Today writing scores in by hand? What do you think is the piece of technology that really advanced fantasy sports in general?
The cell phone, the smartphone. Mm-hmm. Okay, because now it's at your fingertips. You don't have to go home. It's funny, we had, as you know, we had Bob Harris on our show from SiriusXM last week. And that was the question I asked him. I said, you started this in 1986. How the hell did you keep score in 1986? And it was the USA Today, like you said. So now, listen, if you don't have a smartphone in your hand, you're not able to run around and keep track of everything. You're not able to make trades on the fly in between meetings, out to dinner with your wife, you know, you're on your phone. And that's what it is. The smartphone changed everything as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm just curious. By the way, just a technical issue. Am I coming in clear to you? I'm okay.
You are, sir.
Okay, cool, cool. I just want to make sure that our connection's still good. It's pretty rainy here in northern Florida. I just wanted to make sure we're still online. And you know, I'm a techno geek in a sense where I love technology. What is your favorite piece of technology right now that you own?
Man, see, that's a great question because I'm not. I'll give you the
I know
answer.
You're not.
I'll give you the answer is my 2020 Torch Red C8 convertible, Corvette convertible that I just bought. That's my piece of technology.
Yeah, you know what? You're a car guy. Nelson, you look like a car guy.
I'm not a car guy.
You're not a car guy.
No, you got to understand something. I don't own a toolbox, and if the tire pressure is low on a car, I sell it that next day and get a new car. I don't fix anything. Yeah. Nothing. I don't like the tire pressure lights, the engine lights on, the car's gone. The next day, the same thing with the boat, jet ski. I don't like lights, man. I like the shit to run straight. But that car is a special car, and I like it.
Yeah, I always joke around. I say the most innovative piece of technology ever was pornography going from VHS to Pornhub. You know, I said, but I didn't want to get too much into that right now. Look, I got Nelson embarrassed for the first time. Look, blushing, Nelson.
I'm just
you're
getting
blushing.
A drink, man. That's all.
All right, I got a couple more for you, Nelson. Before, look at that. He's giggling over there. Nope. All right, it'll always reverts back to we all become.
It always reverts back to Pornhub, no matter what the conversation.
It always reverts back to our 10-year-old selves. You know that. Okay. So, all right, Nelson. Oh, I'm echoing over there for some reason. You hear? All right,
You are perfect, buddy.
Okay, sounds good. All right, again, Nelson. So, the people that are here watching this podcast, again, tell them why there is an advantage. What is the value that you're bringing to people that come over to Dynasty Depot? Like, so you know, some people like to draft their own teams. That was my first reaction to your site. I said, why am I going to go over there? I'm going to go draft my own team. Then I actually went on DynastyDepot.com and I think I had that aha moment. People that are draft nicks that think the best part of Dynasty Fantasy Football is drafting, explain to them why there's value in having a service like your own.
So that's awesome. And then I would like to offer your people a promo code to give us a shot. But the question you had, so if you like drafting, so FFPC maidens were just posted up today. So say you love drafting and you buy, no, the car. No, Richie, the car stays with me. But if you like drafting, you go ahead and purchase a $77 maiden team and you start drafting because you love it. Now, you're not playing that team and you're good at drafting because we all know Alan is an expert drafter. So you're not playing that team until September 9th, I believe, this year. So that team, if you draft it well, you could probably flip that for first place winnings, $200, $250, something like that. Before you can, that's the beauty of Dynasty Depot. Keep some of your teams, yeah. But if you want to draft a team, which you can right now, and you post it up because you're good at drafting, everybody likes drafting. Comes back to that Jordan conversation. What's it about? It's still about money, right? So if you can monetize that team without ever playing it down because you're good at what you do, that's a beautiful thing, bro.
Yeah, I think that's the piece that I didn't see at first, that it took me a minute to get over to Dynasty Depot and realize that I love drafting. I, you know, whether I'm right or wrong, I feel like I have an edge against the field drafting, and I'm probably wrong, but I draft that $77 team on FFPC. I put it up for auction. And even if it goes for just say $177, I mean, I hadn't made an easier $100 in my life.
Right. And doing something you like. So, I mean, you literally can be drafting from now until August on FFPC and day trading those teams on Dynasty Depot because the market's there. Listen, not everybody's good at drafting, and people buy value. People buy great teams. We're established. We have sold 800 teams in the first 7.5 weeks that we've been in business. Yeah. So the proof of concept is there. So if you're a good drafter, you know, draft a team, put it up on Dynasty Depot, see what happens, or play your team.
All right. So there is a small cover charge to get in the door and check out. You can window shop it at Dynasty Depot. Look at all the teams for free. No problem. But if you want to come in, and it's a premium store, but well worth it. You said you have a promo code for the DFS Army listeners.
So I'm figuring a lot of the DFS Army listeners out there have ranking service, right? Alan, you figure most people have some kind of ranking service they like to go to. Well, as you well know, and this is part of our membership package, RosterWatch has provided us with their first and only exclusive Dynasty football rankings. So you get the ranking service with Dynasty Depot. It's right there. Click on it. So if you use the promo code DFS Army, I will give you 50% off of any membership level you want. So basically what I'm telling you is for $49,
For the year.
50% off for $25. Not only are you getting the action on Dynasty Depot, but you're also getting RosterWatch's exclusive Dynasty rankings that are updated weekly, as you well know, Alan.
Yes.
The final piece to this puzzle, brother, is that we have created what's called the Dynasty Depot leaderboard, meaning any team you buy on Dynasty Depot hits our leaderboard. Well, what the hell is that? Okay, so you buy a $77 team in a standard, Alan, and I buy a $5,000 team in a standard. Whatever points I score this week and you score this week will transfer to the Dynasty Depot leaderboard. Your points will add up weeks 1 through 11. First place is a $2,000 main event seat with FFPC. Second place is a $500 Dynasty team. So you're getting something. You're not only getting to have the fun and move teams and flip teams around on Dynasty Depot, the teams that you end up keeping, you'll put Dynasty Depot leaderboard, and that's absolutely free and complimentary of us.
Wow, that's a good deal. So go over there, use code DFSARMY, and get that 50% off, man. I mean, you know, for $25, I mean, it's you can go in there and you can make that up on buying and selling your first team. Certainly check it out, and window shopping is free. So go over there and do that. Two other questions before I send you out, Nelson, is one, the NFL draft, it's rookie season. As you saw that I just participated in a rookie mock draft with some heavy hitters. Obviously, I took some fire for some of those picks.
Yes,
but
you did.
Came out strong. It's all right. Mm-hmm. You know, I stand by my picks. But who are some of the rookies, any position, you know, in the top 24, maybe even later on? Give me one or two names of players that you're going to be extra interested to see where they land.
I think the guy with the biggest variance in the first round is your boy, Mr. Pitts. So I could see him going anywhere.
Just for those who aren't up on it yet, Kyle Pitts, the elite prospect tight end out of Florida.
Right. And I'm seeing mock drafts with him going, you know, really high in the NFL. And I'm seeing him all over the first round, all the way up to 103. And what's this? Velvet Smoothie. This is Hottie. Never heard of this site before. Depot sounds awesome. Get on there, Velvet.
Yeah, so you like Kyle Pitts, obviously.
I'm intrigued to where he's going to go. I think he's going to be – you know how, like, every year they'll say, well, the draft starts now. Well, after Jacksonville does what they got to do, then the NFL draft starts. I think the rookie drafts start with Pitts. I'm not sure – where people are going to value him, right? And you got to remember, I'm in the FFPC where it's a point and a half for the tight end. So that even puts a bigger variance on it.
Yeah, and that's my other question to you. Does point and a half really move the needle for you? Like, I'm not saying does it move the needle in reality, but I don't think the point and a half moves the needle over too much for most dynasty players. It's when you go to the double PPR, because I play in some leagues that are double PPR for tight end, that it really starts to change. So Where are you on that point and a half? How does that create?
I am and where reality is two different things. I'm more on your end. But when you get to a startup draft on FFPC, Kelce, Kittle, Waller will all be gone by the middle of the second round. Kelce will be a first rounder. Kittle will go on the turn, and Waller will be a couple picks later. So, you know, it's different. So it changes draft strategies. You know, you'll see Hockenson will be, you know, mid third round kind of guy, maybe. So it pushes the tight ends up. So you have to be aware of that, or you could really get left holding the bag, because, you know, there's a big difference there. Because the point half, you got a guy like Kelce, you know, you got a better chance to win with him than, you know, if you got Austin Hooper as your tight end, right?
Yeah, the DFS Army is in a full fade of early tight end this year. In our important leagues, we're pushing everyone to look at Tyler Higbee a little bit later on, especially that Gerald Everett's an unrestricted free agent. We can't get that 6 week run in 2019 out of our head. Where,
by the way, that's a great sneaky name you just said there, because I think Everett's got a lot of talent, really good athlete, and
he's gone.
Oh, I understand that, but he's going to land somewhere. He can land somewhere interesting and be a top 10 tight end next year for damn sure.
And whoever signs him is gonna want him. So yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yep. We covered it all. Just remember, if you're watching this and you're not a DFS Army member, if you're seeing this on the free stream, come over to dfsarmy.com, become a VIP, get 10% off. Use my code SEZ, and you can check out. We'll have all our season long, our dynasty and best ball content. But obviously, we are unmatched in the DFS content. These guys are crushing basketball right now, NASCAR, MMA, you know it. So you know the drill. Come on over, check us out over at dfsarmy.com. Get a VIP membership, 10% off. Use code SEZ, and that helps us. All right, my friend Nelson, you did it. You caught fire today. Wait, let's see. We got, right here. You got a comment before we go. Someone said, Nelson at Dynasty Depot, you're awesome. Sign up for Dynasty Cheap today. All right, you got fans already in the live stream. But my friend Nelson, thank you. You are welcome back anytime. Hopefully you'll visit us again before the start of the season as we get into deep Dynasty season. Anything else you want to let the people know? How do they get you on social media?
Anyway, we can be looked up on Twitter at the Dynasty Depot, the in front of Dynasty Depot. And obviously dynastydepot.com, like we said, you know, give us a shot. It costs you $25. Use the promo code DFS Army. It is live right now to get you on board there. Any questions, you know, hit us up there. But we'd love to see you on dynastydepot.com. And listen, you got nothing else to do right now. Get on there and check it out. You can go to the site. Just go to the site, dynastydepot.com. Click on list of teams for sale. And look at it yourself. You can see what's out there and see if it's a place for you.
Yeah, go check them out on Instagram and TikTok, too, with Dynasty Depot. All right, I am Alan Cislowski. You know where to find me on Twitter, at Alan Cislowski, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Friend me, follow me, whatever you want. You know I interact. If you have questions, I always write back very quickly. And from my friend Nelson at Dynasty Depot, this has been another episode of the DFS Army Bold Call Podcast. We'll see you this Friday back with Mario Puig from RotoWire, rookie expert, to break down and defend my pick of Trevor Lawrence in the mock draft I just participated in. Until next time, goodbye.
Got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles.